We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right, welcome back. Third hour of the Mark Reardon Show. St. Louis is home for conservative talk on a Monday of December. It's like December 5th and it's dark outside, Sue.
Yeah, it's midnight looking out there.
Hey, on Saturday night, I was at home, and I'm kind of mad that I was at home because my buddy Brent Coder, who I call him Nick Coder, that's a long story, but he's the guy who designed that logo that's right behind us, you know, that we have on the T-shirts. So you can buy those at Whiskey Dickerson. He was chastising me because he's at the Dome and he's watching Kenny Wallace and the Gateway Dirt Nationals. He's like, why the hell are you not here to see your buddy Kenny Wallace? And then I asked myself that question. Why the hell am I not there?
We didn't know.
So and I feel terrible. We're going to talk about that. But last night I mentioned that I went to the pageant and I took an Uber back home. And I'm in the Uber and I start, you know, popping around on social media just to kill the time in the car. And I come up on Instagram and Kenny's got this video where he's standing on top of the car dancing around. And then he used this app and he's going to describe it here. Because it's just like a 4-second video that I laughed my ass off watching.
It's
this
awesome.
Kenny Wallace. It's just really good. You got to describe what you did here because it's really funny. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'd be lying if I tell you I was perfect. You go down to the Dome. It's wonderful. The city of St. Louis is flush with money now, Mark, and they're adding on to the Dome. But there's 30,000 people there. So now I'm sick. But I don't have COVID or nothing like that, just a cold. But, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this really big dirt race. People from all over the world come to the Dome in downtown St. Louis. They put this makeshift dirt track on the football field, which is relatively a good size. You know, we forget how big the Dome is, right? So I do really good. And I love Snapchat because I can let it fly on Snapchat. Well, you know, you can just do whatever you want to do. You really can. And so they got this app where it shows your face watching yourself. So I'm on top of the car acting a fool. And I put my face up there and I go, I'm a mess. And like you said, you know, you can narrate yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it is wild, and it is a little creepy. But I got to tell you, I know my numbers. You know, we just look, who all watched it, my friend? It was a very simple post, but got the most amount of views of the whole year.
I can imagine. As I'm watching it last night, I texted him on the way back in the Uber. I said, dude, your Instagram, looking at yourself, acting like a fool, having fun, cracking my blank up, because it really just made me
laugh.
I've
watched it three times,
loud.
Kenny.
But let's talk about why you did the video, Kenny, because you had great success on Saturday night, didn't you?
Yeah. There was 60 cars in my division. That's 6-0. That's a lot. And they only start 20, you know, in front of this jam-packed, raucous house of people. And I was in danger of not making it, you know, not making the race. And there is this, what they call win and you're in. You got to win the race. And I started fourth, and I passed the leader on the last lap, last quarter. And I mean, that crowd went nuts. I heard them inside the race car. So the race is kind of a celebration of racing. It's real, but it's, you know, you're expected to be a little theatrical. So I'm pulling into Victor Lane, and everybody knows I'm a little off center anyway. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, they're expecting me to put on a show. Think, oh hell yeah, you can't go wrong doing Ric Flair. So I win the race. You know, it was a big deal against some great race car drivers, and so the win was in exciting fashion. Then I get on, and I just do Ric Flair. I do the strut. I do the championship belt, and woo. And I mean 30,000 people, whoa, and I mean, you couldn't hear yourself. And all of this right now is all over social media. It's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, TikTok. It's everywhere. So St. Louis and the United States, they gave me a lot of love, and it sure was a night I'll never forget.
Wow. Listen to the announcers kind of calling this. And by the way, when Brent reached out, when my friend Coda reached out on Saturday, he sent me the video of that moment when it happened. And, yeah, the crowd was going nuts here.
Wallace is going to look deep to the ball. Here comes the Herniator. Down the back straight away. They come together. Here comes Austin Massera. Massera is in their heart. Off a turn four. Wow.
Oh, the Herniator gets it done on that last lap.
Yeah,
it wasn't
baby,
like that slingshot deal, was it, like that other guy did a month ago?
Well, no, not like that, but it was close. It was, you know, the fans, well, what had happened? Now, let me back up just one second here. I was passing the leader, and there was a car that blew a motor, so the caution comes out the very last lap as I'm passing the guys. Now we got to re-rack them, do it all again. You know, it's like scoring a touchdown and there's a flag, and you got to do it all over again.
Right.
Yeah. So I did it again, and I got the guy again. And you know, this guy's really good. He wins all over the United States, and I just set it up, and got the job done.
So how do you get the job done? I mean, we know the crowd fuels athletes. A lot of athletes block out the crowd in serious moments. I've heard that's kind of an interesting phenomenon. But is it the adrenaline that just pushes you through? Is there a little racing luck involved? Is it a combo deal?
You know, I once asked Albert Pujols. I said, Albert, how do you hit a home run, you know, in the World Series when millions of people are watching you? And his response was perfect. He goes, Kenny, how do you go 200 mile an hour at Daytona?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I get it. You know, so each craft, each sport, it's really strange, Mark. You just block the crowd out. You know, it's just really strange to do it. But I mean, I have my little rhythm. You know, I get in that car and I get by myself, and you know, I say a little prayer, and I, you know, calm my heart rate down, and I'm like, okay, look, everybody else in this race just like me, and I just got to do my job. You know, don't try to do too much. Now, I will say that took years of experience.
Sure, yeah,
of course,
Yes, that's how, you know.
Well, let me play. This is what you said after the race.
Yeah, it was a special moment in my career. You know, we've run the Daytona 500, the Southern 500, and raced all over the world. And that was probably one of the most special moments in my life. The fans love TV. And, you know, we know that, you know, nobody's got a problem with understanding that this is a theatrical event. This is a celebration of dirt racing. And I say, you know, you win it, it matters. But if it don't go good, nobody's going to judge you. But for me, that meant everything because, you know, I was born literally 8 miles up the road here. I was born at Lutheran Hospital off Jefferson Street. And St. Louis is my home. And, you know, and showing up in front of my hometown people and having everybody love me like that. I mean, who doesn't love?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's so
awesome. I can hear the emotion. Well, congratulations on that. I'm glad. And, you know, look, the fans got a great show, too.
Yeah,
so
they did.
You did your job, right, Herm?
Yeah, we did our job, and this was an event, you know, that started about 6 years ago, and everybody in the world, I mean world, they're like, there ain't no way, because it's been tried before, but never to that. You know, I tell you, I took St. Louis Blues hockey player Colton Pareko, I took him there, and Colton got in the dome, and he goes, gosh, I forgot how big these domes are. You know, I mean, yeah. It's crazy. But, you know, if you ain't been to the dome in a while, when you walk in, it's a little breathtaking, but they were able to lay it out, and now it's going to go on its seventh year, and it's sold out, packed every time. So it's
I was impressed with. First of all, we're angry that I was not dialed into this because I think it looked like a lot of fun. But when I saw the video from my friend, it was amazing how much dirt was in the middle of that dome and how awesome the track looked.
Hey, Kenny, let me ask you something, Sue. How different is it to drive in the dome than it is down off of 55 outside? I mean, is it a different feel?
Yeah, it's a different feel, and that's what brings the atmosphere. You know, it's contained. I mean, you know, they talk about it in football, and you know, it's a little spooky because, you know, you don't ever do it. You know, you're in uncharted territory, and so when you pull on that racetrack, you know, it's not like you can, you know, look off, you know, into the sunset or trees.
Right.
I mean, when you pull on that track, everybody in that, you know, stadium, I mean, they're looking at you. It's the dome, you know, they're staring at you. So, you know, if you mess up, they know it. If you do good, they know it. And we got lucky last night and did good.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on a fun weekend here in St. Louis in front of the hometown crowd. Everything else going well?
Yep. And I just want to say one thing. You know, I just started following everything city, all the special events on Instagram. Our Chamber of Commerce could do a better job because my fans, you know, they packed Sugar Fire and Hodak and Pappy's, and everybody was, all the owners of the restaurant is like, what the hell's going on? Lines are out the door. So mayor needs to do a little better job with special events going on in St. Louis, but it's still, it all went good.
Yay.
That's good. Yeah, I'd say a much better job, but there it is. Yeah, Kenny Wallace, we'll talk before Christmas. Thanks for coming on.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. That is awesome. And if you haven't seen the video, you got to go see the video. Because
it's so worth it.
It is a lot of fun. All right, we got a couple more things, but I have to squeeze some audio in here. I have an audio cut of the day that is picked out and selected, and it is outstanding from a typical audio cut of the day contributor who is featured in the open. I'll just say that. But I found this over the weekend. I sent Abby a few things as I was kind of tooling through social media, and there's a guy by the name of Tyler Fisher I follow on Twitter. He's a comedian, and he did this, Sue. This is his impression of every lefty news show that's out there.
Today on the show, we follow the science and talk about implicit institutional bias regarding diversity in the workplace while creating a safe space to deconstruct microaggressions stemming from systemic inequality created by an oppressive cisnormative system while increasing equity in the name of inclusivity to combat racial racist racism for minorities and the trauma from being marginalized by climate change. We interview the leader of BLM, a POC, about AOC fighting for CRT. We cover how the LGBTQ are crippled by toxic masculinity. We then shame you for having white privilege, because if you're white, you're privileged, regardless of if you're mentally ill, dying of a horrible disease, or been raped a bunch. We then talk about Trump for 30 minutes, pretending like we hate him, but clearly want him elected again because we can no longer pay our rent with tote bags.
Yep.
We then reveal another 75 new gender identities, and finally we ask, should Guy Fieri be canceled for culturally appropriating lesbians? It's currently 79 degrees in Central Park. The time is 4:53 p.m. But time was invented by the patriarchy, so you can make up whatever time you'd like.
Oh, look at that.
Well, that was awesome. Funny.
That is really, really funny. And then on a much more serious note here, because, and we're going to talk about this, I think, tomorrow more, but this Idaho case is still so
very
baffling.
Very interesting.
And I guess this is the latest here this afternoon. Idaho police said that they have looked into an incident involving Kaylee. Do you know how to pronounce her name? Is it
Kuko?
No, it's Gonclav. This is one of the victors. Gonclaves or Gonclaves,
yeah,
at a local business, which may have been the stalker reference that she made to friends and family, because there's some concern that maybe Kaylee felt like she had a stalker. Now, this is her father, and they just feel like some people may have been cleared a lot too early.
Is anyone acting differently since the murders? I mean, is there anyone that you have a weird feeling about that the girls knew or that comes to mind?
Yeah, I would say not in the immediate circle by any means, but a few of the names that have been circulating around, I think it's hard not to kind of, you know, dig into this. And I don't know how much of that is just because we have so little information from law enforcement and how much of it really is, you know, a sister or a father's intuition.
Can you elaborate at all? I don't know. You don't have to give a name, but I mean, is it someone that she knew?
So this is interesting. Wait, because they're taking great. Well, what they're saying is that there's some people that may have been cleared a little bit too quickly in this whole investigation.
Wait, is this one of the girls who survived? Is that who?
No, this is Kaylee, the one who was killed that I was telling you about that had the stalker.
Okay.
So this is her sister and her father.
I have something to say about that. I just feel like there's been a couple individuals that were cleared very fast. That may. Maybe he's Shinovan. And yeah.
She had the strong alibi.
Just really fast.
You can dismiss.
You know, an hour later, and we're like, what? And I don't know. I don't know anything about those individuals. I just know
right.
They were people that, you know, definitely should have been looked at, and Yeah.
I don't know what would prevent you from sharing somebody's alibi.
Yeah, I think that's what we're struggling with. So it's like, you know, we know what we know. We've, you know, fought for Jack, Kaylee's boyfriend, and, you know, we still stand that way. So I did just kind of want to clear that up while we're talking through this ambiguity that, you know, that's not what we're honing in on here.
Yep. We don't want to make more victims out of innocent people.
Exactly.
We definitely don't want to do that.
I think they're kind of doing it in a responsible way. And, you know, you remember at the beginning, the boyfriend was, they took the boyfriend out of the mix because they said, you know, we trust him, we love him, he's part of our family. Then there were experts that said, whoa, be careful. This is how these things turn out. But they're sticking with the boyfriend. I don't think there's any indication that he did that.
I will say that, you know, having watched about 8.5 million of these Dateline shows, sometimes people who you really do think are innocent aren't.
Well, right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
So you really, feelings don't have anything to do with anything. Evidence does.
That's exactly
and
right.
Hopefully they are actually turning some over and finding it out based on that.
It's just such a bizarre case, and here's a little bit more of the latest, that in mid-October, police say two males were seen inside a business. They parted ways. One male appeared to follow Kaylee inside the business as she exited to walk toward the car. The male turned away, did not appear that he made any contact with her, but if there was some sort of stalking, they're looking into that. This is Paul Morrow, who is in Idaho. He might be a guest tomorrow on the show.
I do believe that the premise that the killer came in the back door is likely accurate. For those who have walked the area, it's a lot more exposed in the front of the house, and it's entirely unlikely, it feels to me, that the killer would have gone in the front door, even the middle of the night, when he had the option of the back door where you can see into the house and sort of plan what you're going to do before you do it.
On the topic of clearing the suspects too early,
I would take the clearances here with a grain of salt. First of all, people that have been cleared can certainly come back into a case depending upon whatever new information is developed, and they have a ton of stuff to go through, all kinds of digital forensics and physical forensics. So anybody who's been cleared can come back in. You know, at the end of the day, the police are going to be reticent to put shine the light on somebody that they're really looking at. And so there's cleared and then there's cleared. I would take this idea that people have been cleared with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yes, I would too.
Yeah, and I want to go back to Steve Goncalves, because this is Kaylee's father, and his theory is on the entry.
Said the entry point was the slider or the window. It was in the middle floor. So to me, he doesn't have to go upstairs. His entry and exit are available without having to go upstairs or downstairs. Looks like he probably may have not gone downstairs. We don't know that for sure, but he obviously went upstairs. So I'm using logic that he chose to go up there when he didn't have to. The investigators, they're very tight-lipped, and they're keeping everything close to their vest.
Also focusing on, did each of these stabbing victims die in similar ways, or were there differences when it comes to a crime of passion, more stabbing wounds, things along those lines?
Their points of damage don't match. I'm just going to say it wasn't leaked to me. I earned that. I paid for that funeral. I paid for that. It's my right. You ain't taking that from me.
Calm down.
If you don't want to say nothing, that's your bet. But don't say I'm leaking anything. I paid that bill. Sent my daughter to college to get an education. She came back in a box, and I can speak on that.
Yeah, so some people worried about how much he's sort of spouting off about this, but can you blame him?
No, I mean,
I don't even know how he talks in public, having lost a daughter like that, but we'll continue to keep on top of that. The mystery is not unraveling.
No.
Paul Morrow, tomorrow on the show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Audio cut of the day before the afternoon is over here on 97.1 FM Talk. There was a big Supreme Court case today involving Lori Smith. She is an evangelical Christian graphic artist from Colorado who does not want to create wedding websites for same-sex couples. And this is similar to the cake case that came up before the court a few years ago, but we're going to talk about it. There's some interesting audio I want to kind of play here, but I'll have Zach Smith kind of walk us into it. Zach is a heritage scholar, has been following the arguments. Hey, Zach, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk here in St. Louis.
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for having me on this evening.
I have a little bit of Gorsuch, you know, with the guy from Colorado, Eric Olson, that I want to play here in a second. But set this case up and the particulars of it, how it may differ from that previously referenced case in Colorado with the cake baker as well.
Sure. So I think this is really a continuation of that previous case with Jack Phillips, the cake baker. The court in that case did decide in Jack Phillips' favor, but they did so on very narrow grounds, and they didn't reach the real core issue in that case, whether or not his being compelled, or Colorado's attempt to compel him, to make cakes for same-sex weddings would violate his First Amendment rights. Well, that issue is now squarely before the court in a slightly different context. Lori Smith, as you mentioned, she's a website designer in Colorado. And under Colorado's interpretation of its anti-discrimination statutes, she would essentially be compelled to create websites, wedding websites, for same-sex couples, which she says would violate her core religious beliefs, and more importantly, for purposes of this case, would violate her First Amendment rights not to be compelled to speak in support of something that she disagrees with. So that's really the crux of the matter, and that is what the majority of the arguments at the Supreme Court today focused on.
So this is Kristen Wagner. She's the attorney for Lori Smith.
Lori Smith blends art with technology to create custom messages using words and graphics. She serves all people, deciding what to create based on the message, not who requests it. But Colorado declares her speech a public accommodation and insists that she create and speak messages that violate her conscience.
All right, Zach, hang on. I want to play a little bit more audio here. So this is Neil Gorsuch, Justice Gorsuch, with Kristen.
What do we do about this level of generality problem, if you will, where people slide back and forth based upon their priors? How do we avoid that as a court? What rule would you have us draw?
The court should follow a rule that says if the speech is being created and there's an objection and that objection is contained in the message, it is protected speech.
Justice Kagan.
The florist, the baker, and the guy who provides the chairs are also providing the services in a wedding that they don't like. So why are they any different?
The person providing the chairs isn't providing speech. But when you are engaging in symbolic speech, whether that be through the creation of a custom wedding cake or a custom wedding website, you are creating speech.
You agree with that?
Well, I think Kristen Wagner certainly has the better argument here, and it's more closely aligned with prior Supreme Court precedent. I mean, look, think about how radical a position would be if the government could force you to support something that violates the core tenets of your religion. That's something you'd expect to see in communist China, not in the United States of America.
So let me play. I don't know if I completely understand this exchange just because I didn't hear all the arguments. But this is Eric Olson, who is the attorney for the state, talking with Gorsuch.
You can choose the content of what you sell. You just can't
what you say.
Who you sell to.
Okay.
Right. And so you could say, I'm going to focus on these things, and but I need to sell that to everyone, even if the person who wants to buy it is a member of a religious faith that I disagree with.
I will write a press release for many faiths and many belief systems that are, but they have to be consistent with mine, and I won't do it if it offends my religious faith. Good to go.
So long as you sell that to everybody.
Yeah, it sounded like Mr. Olson was struggling there a little bit, but can you flush that out, that argument that Gorsuch was making a little bit or not?
Right. Well, look, I think we have to step back and go to kind of the 40,000-foot perspective, if you will, and understand essentially what Colorado is arguing. And this is actually a stunning admission that Eric Olson, the Colorado Solicitor General, made an oral argument today that in the view of Colorado, opposition to same-sex marriage is essentially the same as opposition to interracial marriage, the same as, you know, the racist policies that others have adhered to in the past. And that's just not true, you know. It's well established that people can have good faith disagreements in this area, that, you know, same-sex marriage does violate the core tenets of many people of faith. But look, what's really key here, and I think what Justice Gorsuch was trying to tease out in that exchange, is Lori Smith and others who may object to participating in same-sex weddings, but certainly in this case, on the facts of this case, Lori Smith isn't refusing to serve gay or lesbian customers. In fact, it's undisputed that she will create and has created other websites for gay and lesbian customers who come to her. What she will not do is create websites supporting same-sex marriage. And so the core issue in this case is not that she's refusing to serve particular customers, it's that she's refusing to endorse a particular message which violates the core tenets of her faith. And I think that's a critical distinction here, that this violates her own well-established religious liberty rights and, in turn, her own rights not to be compelled to speak in favor of something to which she strongly objects.
So, Zach, a lot of hypotheticals before the court today. Mall Santas, for example, who might refuse to take photographs with, you know, black children. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson brings up the Mall Santas, says, well, what if a photographer wants to create the ambience of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and would they be able to exclude black children? Sam Alito comes in and says, by conjuring up a black Santa at the other end of the mall who wanted to be free to refuse a photograph to a child wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit. So there's all kinds of hypotheticals. And in fact, Lori Smith's case is sort of hypothetical in and of itself because she hasn't really done this on her website, has she?
Well, no, she's actually seeking a pre-enforcement challenge. She went to right. court and preemptively challenged Colorado's statute. But look, we don't have to guess where Colorado is going to enforce this statute against people of faith. We saw it with Jack Phillips. And there was one exchange that Justice Gorsuch had today where essentially he said that some of the punishment that Jack Phillips had to go through was equivalent to a re-education
yeah.
course.
Let me play that. This is interesting. Here's what you're referring to here.
And you protect religious beliefs under the statute, right? That is one of the protected characteristics,
yes.
In theory.
And in practice. If it wasn't in practice, we had heard about it over the past several years, and my friend has pointed to no example where this has been applied.
Mr. Phillips did go through a re-education training program pursuant to Colorado law, did he not, Mr. Olson?
He went through a process that ensured he was familiar with
it. It was a re-education program, right?
It was not a re-education program.
What do you call it?
It was a process to make sure he was familiar with Colorado law.
Someone might be excused for calling that a re-education.
I strongly
program.
Disagree, Justice Gorsuch.
Thank you,
I think Justice Gorsuch. I'm just going to call that one as I see it. I think Justice Gorsuch won that one, didn't he?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I want to be clear. What a lot of these lawsuits are about are not really about making sure that gay or lesbian individuals can be served at their weddings or elsewhere. It's undisputed. There are ample individuals and vendors who are willing to provide services to those couples, even at their same-sex weddings. What this is really about is forcing people of sincere religious faith to essentially kowtow to the whims of the day. And if they don't, they could potentially be faced with years of litigation, ruinous fines and penalties. And that is a very troubling prospect for people of faith and really for all Americans as we, you know, look into the future.
Well, and let's face it, like in the previous case with the cake and Mr. Phillips, he was, I mean, the other side was kind of going for a case there. They wanted something that they could kind of pin their hopes on, right? He was targeted.
100%. And look, it's the same thing with Lori Smith and Jack Phillips. It's undisputed. Jack Phillips would bake a cake for a gay or lesbian customer. He just would not bake one for a same-sex wedding because that violated his religious beliefs. And so, again, these are targeted lawsuits designed essentially to punish people of faith and to force their compliance, even if it means violating their own religious beliefs.
So is there, in your mind, Zach, is there another analogy that would fit with that particular description in this sense? Because there was, you know, an attempt by some members of the court today to basically say allowing her to post on her website that she would not create websites for same-sex couples would amount to an announcement of illegal discrimination similar to a white applicants-only sign. That was the case that some were making before the court today.
No, that's not true at all. And again, it goes back to the distinction. She's not refusing to provide services to certain individuals because of any status. She's refusing to endorse a message that conflicts with her own religious belief, her own views. And that's a key distinction, that status-based discrimination that we've seen in the past and this refusal to endorse a message that conflicts with her own beliefs. To my mind, those are two separate things. And I think legally, those are two very different things as well.
And the expectation, just hearing the tone of the, you know, debate today before the court and the arguments, is that, you know, she's going to win this case, right? Lori Smith's going to win, in all likelihood.
I hope so. I think so. I'm hesitant to read the tea leaves these days, but it seemed to me like there were at least six justices on the court who were very troubled by the prospect of forcing someone to endorse a message with which they disagree.
Hesitant to read the tea leaves because of the midterm elections and that disaster? That would be why I'm not making any predictions right now.
Just in general over the past 2.5 years.
and I get it. It's tough to call these things. Well, it's an interesting case, and it is very nuanced. And those were, you know, I didn't get to hear a lot of the arguments, but just from the sound bites I played and reading some of this case, this seems to be a real interesting one before the court. And obviously, very, very different perspectives from the liberal members and the conservative members.
Yeah, absolutely. And regardless of what happens, this is going to have ramifications for many, many years to come. It's a very important, you know, there are religious liberty undertones to the case, certainly, but the core issue in this case is a First Amendment free speech issue. And so it could have broad implications in many areas in free speech going forward.
Hey, Zach, I saw one reference, too, that I didn't realize this, that Mr. Phillips from the cake bake decision is also in litigation over something that was created or at least a request for a transgender customer.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, this goes back to the point I was making earlier. Unfortunately, individuals, when they've made their religious beliefs known, many of them, like Jack Phillips, have been targeted.
Right.
And this litigation is really designed to harass and enforce compliance. It seems like in many cases, rather than to vindicate any true rights that may have been violated, which, again, is very troubling.
Yeah. Fascinating case. Zach Smith from Heritage. Love to have you on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Really interesting case. And we'll see what happens when the court rules on this next year. Thank you, Zach. Audio cut of the day is coming up.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, when we go down to Florida, Sue, for vacation down in Captiva, in what used to be Sanibel, my friend Tim is nice enough to give us a golf cart to use for the week because you're zipping up and down the road. You don't have to get in the car. It's quite nice, actually. It really is. And there's different, like, they have different tags on the golf carts that allow you to go to certain places things like that. Sometimes you have to get special tags. Well, I bring it up because in Tampa Bay, Mary O'Connor was the police chief. She's been the police chief for 10 months in Tampa Bay. And the other day, some dash cam or body camera video was released. She was pulled over. Her husband and her were riding in a golf cart without a license plate outside of their residential area in Oldsmar, Florida. This is on November 12th. All right. So the cop pulls him over, and this is what happens. I have audio for you here. Yeah, check this out.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Good. I'm Deputy Chico with the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you've unregistered a vehicle with no tag on it on the roadway.
Yeah, we went
to the club. It was closed, so we went over and picked up some.
Is your camera on?
It is.
That's the police chief right there.
Uh-oh.
And she says to the deputy, is your camera on?
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, have a good night. Staying over here in Eastlake Woodlands?
Yeah, we live in Eastlake Woodlands.
Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. So, I'm Deputy Jacoby.
Okay. Same year, my friend.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right. Then I think it gets a little worse for her. Here's what happens next.
Take care.
Bother you.
All right. No worries. Like I say, we have a lot of problem with the golf carting around here. You know, everybody comes out.
We don't normally come out.
We never
come out. The club
was
closed,
so we
went to the Greek place to get some food.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, then. We'll take care. And it was nice meeting you.
All right.
All right.
You ever need anything, call me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hand the card.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. So.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for yours.
Thank
you. So, take care.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good night, folks.
She's gone, by the way.
Yeah,
she's
no longer
the police chief. Yeah. The Pinellas County Sheriff said that it's a golf cart. They're about 100 yards from their gated community. The outcome would not have been any different if she had just kept her mouth shut. That's a warning all day long. So,
I see.
Yeah. I think that... When she says, is your camera on? I expected her to not say anything.
Then,
but she actually says, is your camera on?
And then proceeds to
And then
to
she
say.
Proceeds to abuse power. Now, I would, there's no defense here. She's going to lose her job. I'm not suggesting that she shouldn't. But how much, is that your priority down there with golf carts that don't have tags on them?
Well,
that's one question I would have,
I
right?
understand.
Because
but
if she doesn't even say, by the way, if she doesn't say who she is or anything like that, the guy probably just lets him go on.
Well, that's what the article is saying.
Right. Or she gives her license. He looks at it and says, oh, aren't you the police chief? And you know, but at this point, he doesn't look like he did anything wrong, right?
Yeah. And I will say that, and I'm not panning all golf cart drivers, but it's annoying when they are out on the actual roads, people that do that. And it's a big issue in Florida, obviously. And he wanted to warn them into it. it can be dangerous.
When I use it down in you know, Captiva, there's really the golf carts really probably rule the day more than the cars because the cars aren't supposed to be going so fast. And by the way, the cart that I'm in goes about 25, 30 miles an hour. So it's not like just chugging along. But I did think that was an interesting case. So she resigned today. She's done. They say Deputy Larry did nothing wrong.
He didn't.
No. Mary O'Connor was the one that was wrong, and she no longer has a debt. What a screw-up, though. She's the chief of police. She's got a good gig. Hey, we need a chief of police here in St. Louis. They released the finalists for that today. Maybe, you know, maybe we can look at her if we have one of these finalists came through.
Great.
Well, I'm just trying to help, Sue. All right, let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
You know, if I'm keeping track and tabs on the number of times that people have been on Audio Cut of the Day, I'm gonna make a quick judgment call right now. Trump's got to be number one because if you go back to years ago, he was on. I don't think it would even be close, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of who might be number two. There was somebody else that came to mind, but I think this guy's got to be number three.
Let me hear it
right now. This is Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. He's talking about kale.
These woke. High IQ, stupid people. They're easy to recognize. They hate George Washington. They hate Thomas Jefferson. They hate Dr. Seuss, and they hate Mr. Potato Head. These woke, high IQ, stupid people, they walk around with Ziploc bags of kale that they can eat to give them energy. Now, if you want to eat kale, that's up to you. I don't eat kale. You know why? Because kale tastes to me like I'd rather be fat. And these high IQ stupid people, the wokers in charge in Washington, D.C., the berserk wing of the Democratic Party, they hyperventilate on their yoga mats if you use the wrong pronoun. They're all over Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God. I love him so much. I don't eat kale because it tastes to me like I'd rather be fat. Not what he said. Yep. Senator John Kennedy, Hey, come on, Eric Schmidt. You got to step up your game when you're in Washington. There you go. Your audio cut of the day. It's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. It's all about comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief. Sue, have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.